Welcome to the Impactful CEOs Podcast. My name is Lou Mosca, and I'm the Chief Operating Officer and Executive Vice President here at American Management Services. You know, every owner has their goals for their business, but most don't have a formal plan to make those goals a reality. Since 1986, American Management Services has been working with owners like you, helping them to develop and implement a formal plan that achieves their goals and secures a future for their business. So with a formal plan, owners can thrive in their business's success, creating wealth and opportunities for all. And that's why we've created this podcast, to share the unique plans and strategies business owners have implemented to grow their business. Stick around to the end of the show. We will reveal how you can be our next guest on one of the fastest growing CEO podcasts on the planet in 15 to 20 minutes. Let's get started.
Hello, this is Impactful CEOs, and I'm your host, Jeff Ford. We're here to check in with CEOs who are truly creating an impact on their business, their employees, their community. And today's guest is an award-winning successful entrepreneur who has launched multiple successful businesses from construction to real estate to thought leadership with top-line revenue over $100 million combined, the most recent of which is the founding of the Journey Principles Institute. He is Stephen Scoggins. Welcome to the show.
What's going on, man? So happy to see you, man.
I'm happy to talk to you. I'm so excited to hear your story. Been looking at your LinkedIn, looking at your website, and just learning a little bit more about you in anticipation of this. And I'm really excited to talk to you. Now, what I didn't realize until we kind of were talking before this show started was that not only have you launched multiple successful businesses, I believe it's seven, you told me, but you're still running those seven companies. Like they're still, that's still going. Tell me what those companies are and a little bit about what you're doing.
Yeah. So the first one that I'm most notably known for that has gotten, I guess, the most press is actually Custom Home Exteriors, AKA CHE. It was a siding cladding business that I started when I was homeless or sleeping in a car. And that business has gone on to be in several states, employing probably 400-ish team members. And then, you know, trying to scale that thing. And that led me to other businesses, as you can imagine. So bolt-ons, you know, commercial, residential, remodeling, all that kind of stuff with that, which then led me into real estate. So now I have a real estate holding company. I buy and sell real estate. Most of real estate I actually hold on to, like this live event center that we're, I'm I guess, coming to you live in right now is one of those assets that I love and does a lot of good for a lot of people. And then, you know, the thought leadership space, I discovered that I had a personal story that seemed to really resonate with aspiring entrepreneurs, especially not only the early stage ones, but also the latter stage entrepreneurs who are like, hey, look, I made a bunch of money. I've done a lot of cool stuff, but what do I have to show for it? Like, I'm not really making an impact. So what I did was I went out and took the best of my experiences and the struggles and the sacrifices and tried to create unity between all of those businesses because they all kind of built upon each other, much like a foundation, and create something special. That's how I created the Journey Principles Institute.
That's amazing. And obviously, I want to go back. I want to backtrack to something you said right at the beginning that you started the company when you were homeless and living in a car. Obviously, I want to hear that story. I want to I know that you have an inspiring story that can really help others who have been through this. So tell us a little bit about that first company you started.
Yeah, I mean, I think like a lot of Americans across the United States, there's, you know, about 70% of the population, a Harris poll stated, would say they're happy or unhappy, unfulfilled, depleted, defeated, and all the verbs and adjectives you would use to describe someone who's not succeeding. And essentially, that was the environment in which I grew up in. I'll never forget this. My father came to me one time and said, Scoggins don't get ahead, they get by. Mm-hmm. And it really stuck out in my mind because, you know, I was probably 13 or 14 years old, I'd already realized that we'd already had some highs and lows. And we were currently at that time in a mobile home that was, you know, insect infested and lights are getting cut off fairly often and stuff like that. And as a result, I felt like what he said wasn't true, but I decided to believe it anyway. And I find that a lot of people believe in their limitations because they've never been taught how to take their limitations and turn them into expectations. And I met by a guy by the name of Steve Myrick. My dad's employer, he asked me a quick question. He said, what's the difference between a rich man and a poor man? Like a knuckleheaded kid. I'm like, well, duh, money. He's like, absolutely not. It's the way they think. I'm like, well, wow, I've never, that kind of hit me in between the ears. Right. And then his next question, it like took it to another level. He said, do you want to think like me or do you want to think like your father? Now he loved my dad like a son, I think he was trying to get to me early enough to help me understand that my life was solely in my hands, meaning I had to learn a better way, do a different thing, and become better. And like a lot of people, he gave me a second chance, or actually a first chance, when I was about 19 years old. Bought me all the tools and the equipment to kind of go into business for myself in the construction industry, because that's, you know, it's what I grew up in. And like a 19-year-old nothing knuckleheaded kid, had never been taught how to handle money and stuff like that. I made a bunch of money, got really cocky, got really arrogant, bought the fancy sports car, started flipping, you know, $100 bills everywhere I went, and just did stupid with zeros. And what happens when you do stuff like that? Humbling, a massive humbling, right? So I go through a pretty severe anxiety, started off with anxiety and over being feeling overwhelmed, and went into a full-blown depression that almost ended my life. But in doing so, I actually walked away from that opportunity. And within a year and a half of leaving that opportunity with Steve, I would find myself literally homeless, from time to time, couch surfing, from time to time, sleeping in a borrowed friend's car, a white Chevy Beretta. Yes, they don't make that car anymore, but it did exist, right? With a leaky sunroof. And I remember being in that car, and I remember having those words that Steve had told me resonating again in my head. And I made a decision. I was actually talking to one of my young team members today. He was like, "How did you do this?" I'm like, "I made a decision." He goes, "Really? It's that simple?" Like, it's that simple. When you actually decide, truly decide, then you remove all the other alternatives. And I decided in that moment that I wasn't going to play any more games. And if I was going to go down, I may as well go down fighting. And sure enough, I got very fortunate. My father talked to Steve and got me back on a framing crew. And, you know, I went to go kind of like hide from Steve as he would come around the corners and stuff like that, because I was very shameful, very embarrassed about what I had done and kind of how I felt. And my dad sent me to go reframe this garage door looking thing at a house next door. And I got to literally watch the people who had taken over from me a year and a half earlier on the siding, doing the work, doing the stuff that I would do. But they were bad mouthing Steve. And I was literally getting fired up, like angry. How dare they talk about, you know, I'm thinking to myself, I'm not walking around the house yelling, but things about how dare they, like, they, this guy is good. How could they possibly say this about him, kind of thing. And I remember finishing up what I was doing, but overhearing them say, well, they weren't going to come back Monday. Unless they got X, Y, and Z in the construction trade back in the day, if they had something called a draw schedule, and let's say a house paid $10,000, well, you could draw down 50%, which would be $5,000, if in fact you were 50% complete. Well, these guys were 70% drawn on a 30% completed house. So what that meant was, is Steve had already showed them immense grace and mercy because of their own lack of ability to steward any kind of fiduciary responsibility. And I just got more and more upset. And as that result, as I walked away from the house, I remember having this little piece in my spirit say, well, didn't you do the same thing? And I was like, ah. And that put me on fire. Next thing you know, Steve's coming back around the thing, and he's coming back to give us our basically the paychecks. My dad would go get the paychecks. It's Friday at 2 o'clock. So it used to be a big thing in the construction industry. It doesn't happen this way now. Everybody works and works and works. But he goes, gets the checks. He's walking back. And about the time he's walking to me, I'm walking the opposite direction towards Steve. And I wish I could have taken a picture of my dad's eyes and the expression on his face. Cause it was like, boy, what are you doing? What kind of thing? I go knock on Steve's window. You know, he rolls down the window. The cold blast of air comes out of the window, and he smiles at me with his big old pearly white denture and said, what can I do you for, boy? I said, well, you know, I just overheard these guys. They said they're not going to come back and da-da-da-da. They're going to be here Monday. And, you know, if they don't, can I take over for them? He goes, boy, with what tools? I sold them everything you see. I gave them the truck. I gave them the tools. I gave them everything. You ain't got no tools. You ain't got no money. You ain't got no people. You ain't got no insurance. You ain't got nothing, boy. How are you supposed to take over? And for the first time in my life, I actually stood up in absolute confidence. And I said, I'll figure it out. And he like took a step back. He was like, what? This is, maybe something happened to this boy. Now, I'd had a conversion into my faith maybe a week earlier that we unfortunately don't have time to dig into. But the look on his face, he was dumbfounded. And he said, boy, I tell you what, if they're not back here on Monday by 9 o'clock, I'll let you finish the house they're working on and we'll go from there. He rolled up his window, took off. My dad comes back around. He's like irate. Like, I just got you back on the frame and crew. What are you thinking? And, you know, again, I stood in that confidence that I didn't know I had inside of me. And I think a lot of people have a certain level of confidence and desire and aspiration inside of them that they've never actually seen for themselves. You know, and part of what I do today is to awaken that within them so they can actually become better CEOs, better leaders, better entrepreneurs, better team members, all of it. Because at the end of the day, in that moment, I went back at my father with almost like this lion growl. I'm like, you don't understand. This is something I have to do. And maybe it was the passion to kind of like prove myself to Steve because he gave me the second chance, the first chance, and I pooped on it, gave me the second chance. And I'm like, this is something I got to make happen. But essentially, my father, for the first time, went over to this van that he had that Steve owned, opened the door, pulled out this big heavy nail gun and said, go start pulling lumber out of the trash piles. We got scaffolding to build. And I spent the entire weekend building scaffolding and all the ladders and all the walk boards, all these different things that I use in the exterior services side to begin to put together my stuff. And come Monday morning at 8:05, Steve comes in the community. I'm ready to go. I'm like, can I go yet? He's like, it ain't 9 o'clock yet, boy. And that goes on and on and on and on until 9:02, he comes around, rolls down his window and says, boy, it's 9 o'clock. It's 9:02. What you waiting on? And I went to work and you know, if people think I'm crazy sometimes, can I say this, but it happened to me. It's my story, right? It's my real life story.
Yeah.
I actually heard a voice actually tell me the name of the business, Custom Home Exteriors. And that was the first day that now turned into a multi-state venture that one business does top line high 8 figures in revenue across 3 states. I've got amazing team members, you know, but the biggest mistake I ever made in building a business, and I think a lot of leaders get this wrong, is not building myself along the way. Mm. So for the first 10 years, I was the scrappy high school dropout, dyslexic kid, ADHD, you name all the different acronyms and all kinds of stuff. I wore those titles proudly, right? Not knowing that they were actually holding me back. And sure enough, man, I tell you what, I just got gritty. I got focused. I got serious. And as I got more and more down that pipeline, I didn't realize I needed to know about what EBITDA was, or what a P&L was, or what are financials? What are audited financials? What does it mean to lead somebody? I used to lead out of fear and aggression because I didn't want people to know something really important. I didn't know what I was doing.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So when you ask me how did I get started, the short answer is out of necessity. Mm-hmm. I needed shelter, I needed food, and I needed a way out. The longer answer is, I got started because somebody gave me a second chance that I didn't deserve. And that's probably why I'm so passionate about what I do today with the Journey Principles Institute, you know, with Stephen Scoggins, the books I write, the seminars I put on, all that stuff, is because I want to awaken the second chance within someone else. And you'll be very surprised. You know, some of my larger clients include clients that are Fortune 500 plus companies. They might do top line of close to $1 billion in revenue. And with all their wealth and all the fancy stuff that comes with it, they're empty. It's because they've never actually understood the true sense of purpose, you know? So that's a very long-winded answer to your question, but it's exactly why I do what I do.
Yeah, no, it's amazing. It's a love the prodigal son kind of aspect of that story. I think everybody's familiar with, right? It's almost word for word, that story kind of in a lot of ways. And I love that the fact, you know, this show again is about kind of impactful CEOs and how to make an impact. And there's so many different ways that a CEO can make an impact. And I think your story is significant. Something that we can share with our listeners is the importance of mentorship. So like you had that second chance and you had that mentor who came alongside you and gave you a little tough love and said what needed to be said. Mm-hmm. Tell me a little bit about like, what do you think that's a huge key? I think a lot of people might be missing that kind of relationship, and that's where a lot of their kind of where their struggle comes from.
Absolutely. I think, you know, it's interesting. One of the number one questions that I get all the time actually is, how do I find a mentor? I don't have access to a mentor.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, are you kidding me? I grew up in an environment where I remember black and white TV.
Mm-hmm.
Right? You have information at your fingertips. So much so that it got me thinking over and over again. I was like, you know what? There's lots of different ways to get a mentor. Lots of different ways. And I began thinking of the different ways I've been mentored. And I said, you know what? What are the top four? Okay, I found four. Okay, So I just, you know, because I'm a weird guy like this, I like to name things, any kind of framework, I like to name them, right? So I called it the mentorship matrix. It's just a quadrants of four mentors, right? Mm-hmm. The first mentor is the aspirational mentor. It's the mentor that you aspire to be. Now, you may not have direct access to that person, meaning you might not be able to pick up the phone or send them an email or have a Zoom call with them. But what you can do is you can find them out on the web and learn from what they've done. Okay. The second type of mentor is a peer-to-peer mentor. That's maybe you and I, we're going back and forth on an idea, a concept, some kind of like, maybe I got a hurt habit or a hang up that I'm trying to work through. And you're like, well, I have a different perspective over here. Let's talk about it from this angle. And, you know, that brings a greater perspective. The third one is the historical mentor. So historical mentor is anything and everything that's ever been in print. Hmm. Right? Mm-hmm. There's wonderful, wonderful leaders that, yes, they made their own mistakes because we're human and that's human behavior and that causes that. But C.S. Lewis, Tolkien, John Maxwell, he's still alive. John Maxwell, right? All of these guys have their thoughts, ideas, concepts, strategies, frameworks, processes, all in print. And you can learn right now from that. The fourth one is what I like to call the digital mentor. Now, the digital mentor is using mediums like we're doing right now. So we're recording this for audio, but we're actually using Zoom right now so we can actually smile at each other and mm-hmm. say, hey, you look like you're my friend. Like we can actually connect, right? We can vibe, right? Well, that tool is a lot of the online schools, a lot of the masterminds. You start seeing an intermingling of these different mentorship styles. Mm-hmm. But when you're searching for a mentor and you're not really able to find one, in fact, one of the lies I used to tell myself was, I don't have access to a mentor who's where I'm at. Meaning I didn't know anybody in my local environment that was already a nine-figure earner or above and had done so in being debt-free. Okay. So my businesses are debt-free. I'm personally debt-free. Like it's taken a lot of work and maybe I could be a $300 million in, you know, entrepreneur or whatever. If I'd taken on debt, I'd rather play it safe. Maybe. What do you call it? And then I realized that, look, I can look at Dave Ramsey any day of the week on a YouTube video, on a podcast, and learn something. Mm-hmm. I can do the same thing with John Maxwell, Simon Sinek. I mean, and the list goes on. So when it comes down to it, if you were going to change the altitude in which you get somewhere, you're going to have to be taught how to do so. You're not going to stumble your way into becoming exceptional. And what that taught me to do is the business taught me to the need to build myself. Once I began to master some of the techniques to build myself on a routine basis, that began to teach me how to teach and elevate other people and build other people. So I didn't realize I like to say it this way, because it, you know, it started with a construction company. I used to think that what I had was a construction company, but I discovered I had a personal development company masquerading as a construction company. You know, just before this call, I had a young man from our team sitting in the chair who grew up a lot like I did. And I got to spend about 45 minutes with him, literally right over here to my left-hand side, and talk about things. And he was asking the same exact questions I used to ask. He even said this, it's like you're reading me. I said, dude, I was you. You know, so at the end of the day, mentorship plays a key role, but only if you use it, not only to mentor yourself, but also to set yourself up to mentor somebody else.
Yeah. I love how your story goes. And I love the fact that you are able to sit there with somebody who is on that same path, who maybe was just like you as a kid. But what would you say to someone who is just like your dad back then? Like when when your mentor came into your life, was trying to get you before maybe he was a little, yeah, little bit more jaded, or maybe they're at a point where they've been working so hard and it's just been going so long. And things are going, you know, well in business, but it's just, you know, it's starting not to feel like, you know, maybe it's not, it's still a grind. You know what I mean? Yeah. What advice would you give to those folks?
Well, so first of all, I think it's twofold. And it's funny, if I'm talking to the guy who's trying to just break free in life, or if I'm talking to the guy who's just trying to find fulfillment in what he does again, right? The number one thing that they both share in common is it always comes down to a decision. Mm. You know, I know that's like our buzzword today, but it's because it's true. if you are searching for a way to make an impact, if you're searching for a way to scale your life, then it's going to come down to decision. And to me, the decision comes down to this. Probably up until this point, maybe you are coming at it from a degree of, I've been successful, I've done all these things, nothing's really good. It's because it was focused on the wrong thing. It was focused on achievement and coming across as the top notch, being validated, being aspired, prestige. However, if you'll make one shift, which is this, legacy. Legacy is nothing more than the message or the thought of you that you leave behind when you leave this earth. So I like to say that everything that I do today in order to make an impact, and it's my tunnel vision, right? This is my tunnel vision, is I want to create a legacy that outlives me, mm-hmm. outlives my things, outlives my achievements, outlives my books, outlives my conferences. And how do I do that? The same way that Steve Myrick did it for me. The only reason people even know Steve Myrick's name nowadays is because I've been shouting it from the rooftops for a number of years now. You wouldn't know his name otherwise. But he radically changed my life. Him and a handful of other key mentors, Frank Wiesner, Susan Batts, Mark Bernhardt. There's so many people that poured into me when I needed it. Now, what would I go back and tell my dad? He was probably about my age then. I'm 45 now. He would have been about the same age. It's been about 22 years. And I started the company when I was 22. When you go to look at it, I would tell my dad this. It's not over. It is not over. Whether you're stuck, whether you're going somewhere, or whether you're stagnant in place, it's not over. You can choose today to choose a new direction, a new perspective, and a new grit pattern to go after it. If you don't feel like you're making an impact, but you got a bunch of money, then how can you deploy that capital to make an impact? Here's a bonus one. Stumbled across a study not long ago. The highest achievers on the planet, top 1%, top 0.5%, have at least 8 mastery level talents hidden inside of them. It's where a lot of their wealth comes from. Okay. 8 mastery level talents. Now, only 38% of them share it with the world before they pass away. There's a reason that back before we got into school focus, everybody learned through apprenticeships. It's because that's how you perpetuate a human race. So I would say to my dad, one, it's not over. 2, focus on the legacy play. And 3, what do you have inside of you now that you could teach to somebody else that maybe you take for granted that somebody else could use it to like radically transform their life? You see, most of the things that we have in us that just come natural to us, something we're really good at. I'm good at entrepreneurship, right? I'm good at seeing an opportunity. I'm good at taking something of little to no value and adding value to it to make it worth more. That is something I can teach. That is something I can share. And if I'm going to create a legacy that outlives me, that's what I should be doing. So to the entrepreneur that's early stage, the entrepreneur that's middle stage, the entrepreneur who's been killing it for a long time, at the end of the day, that's what I would say. Legacy play, it's not over. Get your butt in gear.
That's fantastic. Wow. That's great advice. Look, we're coming up on time, but before we go, I want to make sure people know how they can learn more. I'm sure that they want to find out how to be inspired the way I certainly have been in this podcast. How can they find you with your website, things like that? What did you want to share today?
Well, so the good news is you can Google search my name, but Stephen with a PH, Scoggins, that's 2 G's. So Scoggins, Instagram, website, the whole deal. So StephenScoggins.com, Stephen_Scoggins. But if you really want to do something special, like really special, join me in October with Tom Bilyeu, Lisa Bilyeu, Evan Carmichael, Anthony Trucks, Amberly Lago, Mel Abraham, and so many more at Transform You Live. If you're interested in that, I haven't opened it up to the market because every time we do it, it sells out in 3 or 4 days. But if you want to go to transformyouevent.com, you can check it out right now. The early bird will actually launch next week, but you could probably go ahead and do it right now because you have the URL.
Okay. That's awesome. Yeah. And I don't know when this is going to drop, but I'm sure that it will be before that happens. So make sure you check that out, because that sounds like it'll be an amazing opportunity to hear you live and talk to you. Thanks so much for being on the show. I can't tell you how inspiring just that story was to me. And I want to just wish you the best of luck.
Thanks, man. I appreciate you hanging out with me. I love to share my heart and love to share the lessons I've learned along the way, because I truly believe it can end somebody else's suffering.
Sure, certainly. And thank you for listening to another episode of Impactful CEOs. We'll see you next time.
Okay, Lou Mosca here. And thank you so much for listening to the Impactful CEOs podcast. If you're a successful CEO who would like to be on this program, please visit amserv.com/CEO/apply. If you got something out of this interview, would you share this episode on social media? Just do a quick screenshot with your phone and text it to a friend or post it on the socials. If you know someone that would be a great guest, tag them on social media to let them know about the show and include the hashtag #ImpactfulCEOs. I love seeing your posts and guest suggestions. We are regularly putting out new episodes and content. To make sure you don't miss any episodes, go ahead and subscribe. Your thumbs up, ratings, and reviews go a long way to help promote the show and mean a lot to my team and me. Want to know more? Go to our website, amserv.com, or follow American Management Services on LinkedIn, Facebook, and Instagram @AmServBiz. Listen, thanks for listening. We will see you next time.